Hi, this is Gail Roth. Blog
Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Gail Roth with Bewitching Book Tours Radio. I'm here today to interview Abigail Owens about her book tour for this Fat Tour series. Abigail, are you online with us? I know Abigail was calling in. Are you there? Abigail, are you there? Okay, seems we're having a little bit of technical difficulties getting Abigail in there with us. Well, hopefully Abigail's going to join us in a little bit. We're going to be talking about her book tour with this Vatura series. I'm trying to find out where she is. She says she can hear me, but I can't hear her. Abigail, can you hear me now? Okay, I'm going to see if we can figure out what's going on. I'm going to disconnect and try to call back in and see if we can get her. I apologize for any of you who are trying to listen in that aren't able to hear us. Give me just a second and we'll try to go live again. Abigail, can you hear me now? Abigail, can you hear me now? I apologize that we're having these technical difficulties. Abigail? Okay, I don't know. She can still hear me, but I can't hear her. I'm going to try reaching her via another line and see how we can make this work. Abigail.
Hi.
Hi. Well, we're going to see if I can try this using two different phones. Okay, hopefully we're live. I can't tell that we are, but I'm hoping that we are. Let's see. Well, I'm not getting a feed on here, so let me see what's going on while we're not getting a feed. Let's go back into the dashboard and see if we can get us going live. You're not hearing me, are you, on the radio? Oh, sorry. Okay, that may not work either then. We may need both of us online. I don't know why it's doing this. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to disconnect from everything and call customer service. Abigail, can you hear me now? Abigail, are you there? Abigail, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yay! We finally got it worked out. Sorry about the technical difficulties, but thank you for hanging in there with us.
No, no problem, and thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So now, am I pronouncing it correctly? Is it this Vatura series?
Mm-hmm, Vatura. It's
Vatura.
Roma, a.k.a. a gypsy term.
Oh, okay. And how did you find out about that term and get this idea?
Well, my characters live for a very long time. They live as many as 2,000 years if they survive that long. And my main character, Ellie, is about 160 years old, and her family survived by hooking up with a tribe of gypsies in Europe. And so I looked up gypsy terminology and picked out terms that I felt really complemented the storyline. So Svatura means people with kind of supernatural powers, but it also means kind of legend or folklore. So they are essentially the embodiment of the folklore.
So obviously you are into all things supernatural to be able to even come up with this idea to research.
I am, and have been, you know, for golly, my whole life. It started with Star Wars, even though that's really science fiction. It's still the whole concept of, especially with the Jedi superpowers.
Well, that is so interesting. So even as a child, you were really into all things supernatural.
I was, absolutely. Yeah, all of my imagination play as a kiddo had to do with being able to fly or being able to read people's minds or different things like that, fun stuff.
Well, obviously you are very good at it because I see that you've won awards for this series. Would you like to tell us about these awards and what all you've won?
Sure. So for Blue Violet is the first book in the series. It was originally self-published and just came back out this month with my publisher, Wild Rose Press. And while it was self-published, I won third place for best sci-fi fantasy horror category for ebooks at the IPPY, so the International Independent Awards, basically. And then that same company puts on another award called the ELIT Awards for ebooks only. It also placed third in a similar category for that one.
That's very exciting. Now, is this your first series?
Thank you. This is my first series, although with Wild Rose Press, technically it's the second. So I have another paranormal romance series that's Mountain Lion Shifters called the Shadow Cat Nation series. And Wild Rose Press published two of my books with that series before we got to publishing the Svatura series. So for me, the Svatura series is first, but for them it's the second.
Oh, okay. Now, I noticed all of your titles have to do with flower themes. What made you decide to go that way?
You know, I was trying to come up with a title that wasn't just another, you know, shifter or something like that in the title, and mm-hmm. decided that flowers, particularly in the Victorian era, had different meanings. So if a man gave a woman flowers, the flowers carried a specific meaning. And so I tried to pick flowers that had meanings that really represented the book. So with Blue Violet, the meaning of Blue Violet is watchfulness, faithfulness, and I'll always be true. My main character, Ellie, the way she meets her new family and the man she ends up falling in love with is she dreams about them. She knows that they have powers like she does. She knows that they're in trouble because her entire original family was wiped out by a group of shape-shifting wolves. And so she is secretly watching over them. They don't know who or what she is. They just think she's a normal woman with no powers, and she's watching over them.
So now, in the series, does a reader have to read each book to know what's going on, or can each book stand alone?
Each book stands alone, or at least I've tried to make them do that as much as possible. Each book is about a different couple, so it focuses on a different hero and heroine, but
right.
all that have pulled through all four books. So I would say it works better to read them all four in order, but
sure.
But really they can stand alone, yeah. I prefer to read The Happily Ever After in each individual book. That's my preference as a reader. So.
Sure. And I have to tell the listeners, if you haven't seen her book covers, you have to go see them. They are absolutely stunning. I am just blown away by your covers. Who designed your covers, and how did you go about creating them?
Oh, my gosh. So Debbie Taylor at Wild Rose Press, she did my covers. She's done all my covers for this series as well as for the Shadowcat series, and I love what she does. What was neat about this series was that Wild Rose Press was super supportive and agreed to help me publish them all together. So all four books are coming out over the course of October. Three are out now. The fourth one comes out on Monday. And so when we designed the covers, we got to design the covers all at the same time and keep them really cohesive, which I thought was awesome.
They're gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The colors on there's kind of a banner, I guess you could call it, although it's more like a color swirl at the bottom of each book. Each person with superpowers there, they have a glow inside them that some can see that represents their colors. And so each of the colors on the books is the color of that woman's glow.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, I just think they're stunning. They're very eye-catching, which, of course, is what you want as an author. You want those readers to want to grab your book, and you've definitely accomplished that. You mentioned you were originally self-published, and then you joined Wild Rose Press. Is there a reason that you chose to leave self-publishing and go with Wild Rose?
You know, I started out in self-publishing partly because I wasn't sure if I had the chops as a writer to make it. And so it was one of those things where it was like, well, let me try self-publishing, which is a fairly easy thing to do, and do it to the best that I can. You know, I had them professionally edited, and I had a professional cover designer, and did as much as I could. And you know, got great feedback from readers, and I got, you know, won some awards, and I thought, okay, I can do this. So I kept going with the series. But at the same time, I will admit, as a self-published author, you're spending a lot of money on the professional editor, on the professional covers, and also having to do the marketing by yourself. And I felt like getting in with a publisher would help not only mitigate some of those costs, but also get kind of a more, like I said, like kind of a cohesive piece to it. I have the same editor across the whole series, and so she, you know, Mary did this series, and she really understands the whole series with me. But also, I have kind of their network that I can lean on,
sure.
not only for the publishing piece, but also as a writer. You know, there's a lot of writers among that network that I can now talk with and see what their experiences are and get advice from them. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to go publishing. I haven't ruled out self-publishing. I actually really enjoyed it, but that's where I am at the moment. I just recently actually got an agent for my contemporary books, so we'll see where she takes it next. Yeah.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, let's go through each book. Let's start with Blue Violet and kind of give us a little synopsis, sales pitch of what this book is about and why our readers would enjoy it.
All right. So Blue Violet's the first book in the series. I've already given you a little bit about it. So Ellie
sure.
Aubrey is the main character. She and her twin brother Griffin lost their entire family. They were killed by a group of shape-shifting wolves. and they've been hiding for the last 100 years, basically trying to avoid being killed themselves. She has a dream about this other group of folks with powers. who are in danger now from that same group of shape-shifting wolves, and so she wants to go save them, essentially, and eventually falls in love with one of them. And in the meantime, she has a really large, she and her brother both have multiple abilities. She has the ability to control other people's powers if she's physically touching them. And she has several different shapes she can shift into. She can be a falcon, which is what's on the cover. She can be a jaguar. She can be a wolf, but that's dangerous because there's a hive mind mentality attached to the wolf form. And then there's one other shape, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's a big one. It's one she can't control.
Okay. I have to read to find out.
Yep. So in order to save, you know, the man she loves and her new family, she might have to bring that out.
Very good. Now, how about Hyacinth, book two?
So Hyacinth takes off where Blue Violet leaves. So Hyacinth is focused on Ellie's twin brother, Griffin, and Celine. Celine is the sister of the man who used to rule over those shape-shifting wolves. She is one of the shape-shifting wolves who killed Griffin and Ellie's family. But there's a reason why she's not evil, basically. And Griffin... one of Celine's powers is the ability to control dreams. And she's been visiting him and his dreams over the last 100 years since her family killed his. And he didn't know that. He just thought she was a dream girl until he meets her on the battlefield at the end of Blue Violet. So it's their love story. And are they able to overcome that kind of horrible history behind how they've met?
And Crimson Dahlia, book three.
So Crimson Dahlia is the main characters on this one are Lila. Lila is one of the family members for Ellie and Griffin's new family. And her love interest is Ramsey, who is a fire starter. Being a fire starter is very dangerous. They are very volatile, and they basically eventually, most of them don't live very long because they blow themselves up and frequently kill many of the people they love in the process. So he's been trying to stay away from Lila for about 100 years, and she's finally given up. But she is captured by the true kind of evil behind the Vayusha, the wolf shapeshifters, the person that was actually controlling them. Is kind of the true evil in the story. And so she's captured by him, and Ramsey's got to go save her.
Ramsey's to the rescue.
Exactly.
The fourth one, Black Orchid, which happens to be my favorite color cover. I absolutely love it. Tell us about Black Orchid.
So Black Orchid is Adelaide's story. Adelaide is Lila's sister. And so once again, part of the family that we met in Blue Violet, and we've kind of read through all three books at this point. And through all three of the other books, Lila and Nate this is another Roma or Gypsy term, Tesser Thene, which basically means fated love is what it means in these stories. But they are, unfortunately, it's a little bit of a spoiler just for the other three books, but important to know for Black Orchid, they're ripped apart in one of the other three books. And so this is their coming back together.
Okay. Well, I mean, the whole series just sounds incredible to me. Are you planning for it to continue to a book five, or is this going to book four the final in the series?
You know, that's a really good question. So book four definitely ends the series. They, you know, finally defeat the ultimate bad guy, and everybody's happy. however... I'm a really character-driven writer. I fall in love with my characters, including all the secondary ones that I put into the stories. And so I have batted around the idea of kind of doing individual books, not necessarily a series, but for the secondary characters and kind of following that world further.
Sure. I'm sure that your readers would be very, very happy if you did that. Which of the books... I know as a writer you love all of your characters, but if you had to choose your favorite heroine out of the four books, which one is your favorite and why?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's such a hard question. and I'm going to have to give you two answers. You're going to laugh at me because you asked for one. But so Ellie is probably my favorite because she's the first character I finished a story with. So Blue Violet's the first book. I had started like 25 books before I ever finished one. Blue Violet's the first one I ever finished.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably the most me. out of all my characters. She tends to be a little on the perky, happy side, and I tend to be that way, so she's the most me. But Adelaide, I've got to say, who is my heroine in the fourth book, she really grows as a character for me, especially in that fourth book. She changes from this kind of shy, almost weak kind of character into somebody really strong who, in the end, is probably the strongest of all four women, even though you don't see it coming for the first two books.
Sure. Well, now tell us, since you mentioned that your first book, the heroine is a lot like you, tell us about yourself. I know that you are originally a Texan like myself, but now you're in mm-hmm. California. Is that correct?
Actually, I just 2 months ago moved back to Texas. I'd been in California 10 years, and we decided to be closer to family.
Oh, good.
And so, yeah, back in Texas and back in the Austin area. I grew up in Texas and went to Texas A&M. I'm a fourth generation Aggie. Giggum for those Aggies listening.
Yes.
Well,
how did you get into writing?
You know, I've been writing my whole life, and I can still remember winning an essay contest in third grade. It was some kind of, I don't even remember what the essay was about. It had to do with Abraham Lincoln and the past, present, and future, something about that. But I was totally hooked as soon as that happened, and wrote, like I said, you know, short stories, and tried to finish a book, and tried to finish a book, and tried to finish a book for years. And it wasn't until I had my first child and was on maternity leave and kind of had a little time to sit down that I finished my first book. And it happened to be the first paranormal romance that I had tried. I had tried contemporaries for forever.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it was something about the world building that you can add into the paranormal that I just really kind of hooked onto. And in 6 weeks, it took me 6 weeks to get the first draft done. It needed a lot of work after that. But it just kind of flew right onto the pages.
Well, that's incredible. What time of day do you like to write? Is there a certain time of day in a certain place you like to go to kind of focus in?
You know, the first book I wrote, it was always in the evenings after the baby was in bed. And, you know, that was kind of when it happened. And then, of course, I work full-time for a tech company out in California. And so it was always after I got off work and so on and so forth. But I tend to be anywhere I can write is a good time and place to write. I'm good at tuning just about anything out, and so I write on airplanes, I write in coffee shops. My computer goes with me everywhere, and so, you know, even if it's just one sentence, that's one less sentence for me to write later on. So I kind of write everywhere.
I understand. Exactly. Whatever the mood hits, that's how I am.
Exactly. Yep.
And I want to tell our listeners right now that I know we're getting close to where our 30 minutes was supposed to end, but since we started late, we're going to keep going past it. If we get cut off, I'm going to call back in, reconnect with you, because we're going to get this full 30 minutes in, because I'm eager to ask you all these questions. So I just want to let listeners know. Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, so it may cut us off, but if so, listeners, just hang with us. We're going to call back in and get it going again. What musical influences? Do you like to listen to music when you write?
I do. When I first started writing, I actually watched TV more than I listened to music, strangely. I put Pitbull Radio on Pandora. It's got a really good beat, and so I tend to listen to that both when I clean the house and when I write books. And then every once in a while, a song comes out or is popular around the time that I'm writing a book that just really sticks with that book. When I was writing Black Orchid, Frozen was really popular,
right.
As well as the song Let It Go, and what I liked about that song wasn't necessarily that it was so popular or that it was the Ice Queen, but it was that she was giving herself permission to really explore her own powers and become independent and stop being quite so afraid. And so that really connected with what I was writing with Adelaide in that book, which is kind of funny, random song. So if songs like that pop up while I'm writing a book, I tend to listen to them ad nauseum while
sure.
I'm writing that character's scenes. So, yep.
Well, I think it's getting ready to cut us off, so I'm going to
okay.
call you back so that we can continue on with this interview, because I still have lots of questions, and I know our listeners want to hear them.
Sure. Should I just call right back into the same number?
Yes. Let me get reconnected because we just went off. So let me get reconnected and then call in, and I'll connect you back, and we'll see if we can get this going again without any technical difficulties. Sorry about that before. Okay.
No worries.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.